The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to take a little departure from my normal. I almost always preach on the gospel, but today I wanted to talk about the Old Testament reading. The book of Jeremiah has 52 chapters with 1,364 verses, and the Old Testament lesson today that Carol read was 7 verses long, and that means there is an awful lot of context that needs to be supplied if we're going to make any sense of that little reading. So that's what I want to begin with. I want to begin with some context. Jeremiah is often called the weeping prophet, not because he does a lot of moaning and complaining, but because he lived at a tragic moment in the history of his people. A time that kind of resonates with where we are today, I think. Jeremiah became God's prophet during the reign of King Josiah, who was the last faithful king of Judah. The nation of Israel was divided into two kingdoms by that time, and the northern kingdom, Israel, had been destroyed by the Assyrians more than a century before the time of Jeremiah. Jeremiah lived in Judah, the southern kingdom, and God had preserved Judah with her holy city, the capital, Jerusalem, out of his faithfulness to King David. But still, over the years, Judah too had begun to fall away from God and his ways. So speaking through Jeremiah, God issued this indictment of Judah. He said, "My people have rebellious hearts. They have turned against me and gone off into idolatry. Though I am the one who gives them rain each year in spring and fall and sends the harvest times, yet they have no respect or fear for me. And so I have taken away these wondrous blessings from them. This sin has robbed them of all these good things. Among my people are wicked men who lurk for victims like a hunter hiding in a blind. They set their traps for men. Like a coop full of chickens, their homes are full of evil plots. And the result? Now they are great and rich, they are well fed and well groomed, and there is no limit to their wicked deeds. They refuse justice to orphans and the rights of the poor. Should I sit back and act as though nothing is going on?" the Lord God asks. "Shouldn't I punish a nation such as this?" That was the state of Judah. All through the Old Testament, the stumbling block of God's people had been that they were enticed into worshipping the gods of the surrounding nations, gods of stone and metal and wood, deities of the earth and sky, even at times gods that demanded human sacrifice. And even though the people of Judah had seen Israel punished for her idolatry, they still had turned away from worshiping the one true God. And turning away from God, the people of Judah had become a people lacking in justice and compassion. The rich were growing richer, and the cry of the poor was going unheard. Again, this is a theme found all through the Old Testament. God tells his people time and time again to care for the fatherless and the widow. God promises that he will hear the cry of the poor and the oppressed. The law that God gave Moses was set up in large part to create a just and equitable society to protect the rights of the poor and to set limits on the acquisition of wealth. But his people, time and time again, strayed from his principles. So Jeremiah had been called to be God's prophet in this time of Judah's decline, her great fall, when for all these reasons, because of faithlessness and idolatry, because of greed and injustice, the threat of God's punishment hung over Judah like a storm cloud. And then to make matters worse, there were these so-called prophets approved by the religious establishment who were there to contradict everything Jeremiah said. An appalling and horrible thing has happened in this land, God said, speaking through Jeremiah. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule at their direction, and my people love to have it so. These prophets were proclaiming that everything was just fine, that God was pleased with them, that there was no disaster threatening them. Needless to say, since these prophets were saying exactly what people wanted to hear, they were a whole lot more popular than Jeremiah. But Jeremiah wasn't just unpopular, he was hated. He was persecuted. At one time, the people got so fed up with Jeremiah's doom and gloom prophecies that they threw him into a well to let him die. And he only survived through the kindness of an Ethiopian man named Ebed-Melech, who rescued Jeremiah from the mud at the bottom of the well. So Jeremiah's life was saved, but he was still pretty much universally loathed. And so all that context helps us to understand Jeremiah's situation in this morning's reading, where he says, O Lord, you know, remember and visit me and bring down retribution for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, do not take me away. Know that on your account I suffer insult. Your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of merrymakers, nor did I rejoice. Under the weight of your hand, I sat alone, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Truly, you are to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail. Jeremiah is bringing an indictment against God. He'd become the prophet of God gladly. He had loved the words of God. He had kept himself apart, holy to the Lord. But instead of honor and respect, Jeremiah's friends and neighbors only mocked and hated him. The more he proclaimed the words of God, the more they hated and persecuted him. Listen, Jeremiah accuses God. You are like a stream of water that deceives a thirsty man. You're like a brook that dries up and provides nothing to drink. Now, those are some pretty gutsy words for a man speaking to the God of the universe, I think. But Jeremiah is on the point of despair. He is ready to turn his back on this whole disastrous prophet gig. He comes to God to say, I'm done. And more than that, he accuses God of failing him. But notice, God does not get angry. Hear God's answer to Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, if you turn back, I will take you back, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not worthless, not the words that the false prophets were speaking, you shall serve as my mouth. It is they who will turn to you, not you who will turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you, for I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. God promises that he will remain faithful to Jeremiah. He promises that if Jeremiah comes back to him, he will strengthen him. He will uphold him. He promises that he will deliver Jeremiah out of the hand of his enemies. I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze, God promises Jeremiah. This reading is a crisis point. From his first joy in serving God, Jeremiah has become disillusioned. He's teetering on the brink of despair. He feels like God has just let him down. He feels like God has given him a calling that is too hard. It's too painful. Jeremiah has come to a crossroads. He's making a choice between turning back or going forward and trusting in the promises of God. Now, Jeremiah lived about 2,600 years ago in a culture very different from our North Country life here in the year 2020. But Jeremiah's experience of coming to this crossroads of faith is one that I'm pretty sure most, if not all of us, is very familiar with. Life in this world can be hard. Sometimes life is painful, and there are times when we feel like God has just let us down. There are times for almost every person of faith when we become disillusioned with the whole faith thing, when it just doesn't seem to be working for us anymore. And like Jeremiah, we need to come to God and demand an answer. The writers of the Psalms give us expression for those crises of faith. Psalm 69 says, I have grown weary with my crying. My throat is inflamed. My eyes have failed from looking for my God. Psalm 74 says, O God, why have you utterly cast us off? Psalm 88, the darkest psalm in all the Psalter, says, Lord, why have you rejected me? Why have you hidden your face from me? And David writes in Psalm 13, How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Anyone who's struggled with depression at some time in their life will recognize this crossroads. Or maybe you've had to deal with a long illness or a divorce or the death of someone close to you. An awful lot of people have lost jobs during this pandemic. Some people are facing the threat of homelessness. In fact, there are more than 500,000 people in our nation right now who are homeless. I am absolutely positive that many people are at a crossroads of faith in the uncertainty of this time. Even in less precarious times, people lose their way sometimes as we grow older. We become discouraged by the failures or the limitations or just the disappointments of our life that's so different, that's so much harder than the life we'd planned, the life we'd expected. Whatever brings us to that crossroads, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, shows us the way forward. First of all, he shows us it's okay to bring our accusations to God. God can take it. We can hurl our disappointments at him. We can even be mad at God. Remember what Jeremiah said, "You're like a stream that dries up and fails to provide water." Remember how Jesus himself in his darkest hour was praying the words of Psalm 22, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Because sometimes in our darkest times we don't have words of our own to say what we're feeling. And like our Lord, we can use the Psalms to express our discouragement or our anger or our fear. But secondly, God's response is never to punish us or to reject us or to hit back. God's response to our crisis of faith, as we see in his response to Jeremiah, is to renew his promises to us. Our faith might fail. In fact, our faith, I feel pretty comfortable in saying, will fail sometime or other. We can pretty much count on that. But God our Father is always faithful. Life might well be too hard for us, but it will never be too hard for God. And he will bring us through. No matter what we face, God says to you, "It shall not prevail over you, for I am with you to save and deliver you." I believe that it is because Jeremiah chose to put his trust in the faithfulness of God in the middle of disaster that the book of Jeremiah contains some of the most comforting and hopeful words in all of Scripture. It was to Jeremiah, this weeping prophet, that God gave these words, "Behold, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. I will be their God and they will be my people. They shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sin no more. I will rejoice in doing them good, and I will plant them in this land in faithfulness with all my heart and all my soul." Amen.